for Mother's Day, we get them plants and stuff, and I'm not one of those kind of guys because Steph has stuff planted around the house, and I mow over them. She yelled at me, yeah, you hit those again. You did that. Well, if it's green, you know, it meets the lawnmower as far as I'm concerned. But one time, I was over at a friend's house, and it was a husband and wife, and the wife's grandmother was there. So you got to go through the garage, and you go by the side of their house and walk around their house to get into their house. So the grandma, she was older and stuff, and so we were walking through the garage, and I just happened to be behind her. And so we're walking around the side of the house after we get out of the back side of the garage, and she grabs me. And I'm like, dear Lord, what, did the boogeyman jump out or something? And she says, oh, my gosh. She said, would you look at those Johnny jump-ups? And I'm like, yeah, look at those Johnny jump-ups. I'm like, what is a Johnny jump-up? And so it meant a big deal for her. So when I was with my buddy later on, it was the same thing I was going through. I said, hey, take a look at these Johnny jump-ups. He's like, yeah, look at those Johnny jump-ups. So sometimes you can, you know, skate through some of those things that we don't know. You know what I mean? So I won't, I'll give you my, you know, my plant botanist. Is that what, a botanist story? So you're welcome. Be blessed. Let's dismiss. Praise God. Amen. But hey, if you're here visiting today, just to introduce myself, my name is Brad Holford. I'm the associate pastor. Pastor Tim is our senior pastor, and he couldn't be here today, so he has asked me to share the word of God, and that is an honor for me. I'm excited about that. The Lord has put some things on my heart that I just trust will be a blessing to you. And I just invite you, if you're visiting and you haven't had a chance to meet Pastor Tim and Pastor Kate, you come on back and you meet them. I know it'd be important for them to meet you. They would love to meet you. And praise the Lord, if you're here and you're looking for a Bible teaching church, man, we would love to have you as part of our family. We get excited about the plan that he has for your life, and we just minister the word to get you plugged in. Amen. So praise the Lord. If you do have your Bibles, if you wouldn't mind turning with me to Genesis chapter 1. Man, it's been so good what Pastor's been ministering over the last couple of weeks. He's been talking about dominion. He's been talking about, you know, man's purpose that, hey, when God created Adam, he asked, what is the reason, the first reason as to why he created man? And people are like, well, he created man to love him. Well, yeah, praise God, he does love him because God is love. But we, through the teaching and understanding that we have, and according to Genesis chapter 1, which we're going to go over here in just a second, but we know that man was created for dominion. Yes, man's highest purpose in being created is for the sake of dominion. And so I just want to kind of expound on that a little bit here this morning, and I'm just trusting that this is going to help you. And over there in Genesis chapter 1, let's pick it up there in verse 26. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So he told man, he says, we're going to make man in our image and our likeness. Who's this? The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. That's why it's our image, our likeness. We're going to create man. Well, it says that God is a spirit. They that worship God worship him in spirit and truth, for God is a spirit. So you, first and foremost, are a spirit being. Well, no. I can see who I am. I see who I am when I'm looking in the mirror. Yeah, until one day when you check out and your body gives out, then you find out really who you are. Because your spirit, like Paul said, is to be absent from the body, to be present with the Lord. So you, first and foremost, are a spirit being. You know, even if you live to be 120 years old here on this earth, I'm telling you what, one day you're going to check out because these mortal bodies through sin are decaying on a daily basis. As much as we may want to look like we're 21, as long as we live here on earth and then just magically check out, that isn't the case. We all look different than we used to, you know, 10 years ago, 20 years ago, you know, 30 years ago, some more than that. But praise God, we're not going to get too deep in this now. But amen. So I'm telling you, you first and foremost are a spirit being, and you are made in the likeness of God. And the reason why you were made is to have dominion. And he goes on to say, over the fish of the sea, the cattle, the birds of the air. In verse 27, it says, "And so God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them." Now listen to what verse 28 says. And it says, "And God blessed them." That word blessed means to crown them. He exalted them. He put them in a position. He blessed them. "And God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth, subdue it, have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over every living thing that moveth upon the earth." So he goes on to say, replenish the earth, fill the earth. Now that doesn't mean just have, you know, a boatload of kids and stuff like that. That is wonderful. Praise God, families should have kids. But what he's saying, when he's called you to replenish the earth, he's saying, I've crowned you, I've blessed you, I've put a spark on the inside of you that you are to go establish yourselves in this earth. You're to make something of yourselves. There's supposed to be movement to replenish, to build, to create, to invent. I've put a spark on the inside of you, not just to sit there like a bump on a log. I've actually blessed you with a place or a position of dominion. And that means something about dominion. So when he goes on to say in verse 28, listen to what he says, replenish the earth. And he says, and subdue it and have dominion. If you look up that word subdue, and anyone, I'm not a Greek scholar, I have a concordance like anybody else can. If you look up that word subdue in the Hebrew, it means tread down, conquer, subjugate, bring into bondage, force, keep under, bring into subjection. I'll read that again. Subdue means to tread down, conquer, subjugate, bring into bondage, force, keep under, bring into subjection. God, question. When you're saying conquer, subdue, bring into subjection, force, that sounds aggressive to me. Those sound like fighting words. I'm here to sit in the cool of the garden on my seat with my little drink with the umbrella in it. I understand dominion. Thank you for the position, Lord. But this whole tread down, conquer, subjugate, bring into bondage, you're speaking, God, as if you know something that I don't know. You're speaking, God, as if something has happened prior to my making it here in creation that you're now addressing through my presence here right now. I've given you dominion. And I put a conquering ability in you because there's one that has sinned and fallen. And now you're in a position through your dominion to force yourself in this world. God, that is not my personality. I didn't sign up for that. That's not who I am, to conquer, subjugate, to force myself on anybody. That's who you've been made to be. If you don't accept who you've made to be, go do your thing. And I'm not trying to be hard because this is a word for me, but you have to understanding that he didn't just title and brand you with dominion so you could sit there with a t-shirt being like, yeah, I got dominion, everybody. I got dominion. Good, go conquer the land. Wait a second. That sounds a little aggressive and physical to me. That sounds like that's going to require something of my position. And God said, yes, the first reason why I created man is because something happened. Satan fell. He was in charge of this world, according to the book of Ezekiel. He fell and crashed to the earth. And now I've set you in a place of dominion that you can replenish, populate, have your dominion, subdue, tread down, and conquer this world. That is your highest position. Of course I love you. But your highest position is to establish yourself here on this earth. Well, that's not me. I don't do that, son. Okay. And I'm not trying to be hard on this, but it's like, this is a wake-up call for me. Because the body of Christ right now is in mamby-pamby land with jelly beans and gumdrops, trying to figure out why this world is going to hell in a handbag. when God has given you dominion as his body to start taking ground. And God is not going to stand accountable for something that we should have done. God, why is this happening? God, why is this happening? Because you're not fulfilling the purpose in which you've been created. When Satan came and approached Adam, he stole from him. He stole his position. Adam, the one that was created to dominate, forfeited. He gave up the battle right there through a piece of fruit that the woman presented to him. And so if you go on to read in verse 2, I want you to look at these things. And in a perfect world at this time, and we're going to look in chapter 2, verse 18, and this is good for husbands and wives. And the Lord said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helpmeet for him. Now, that's interesting to me, because here we're in a position when he's addressing them before Adam and Eve sold out to Satan, before they obeyed the serpent, ate the fruit, and the knowledge of good and evil had entered into them. But it's interesting that God, during the creation, or I should say the recreation account in Genesis chapter 1, he said, let there be light, there was light. Let there be the firmament, there was the firmament. Then he started creating the other things. And after every single day, he said, and it was good. It was good. He created the light after the first day, and it was good. It was good. Then we get to chapter 2 and verse 18, and the Lord said, it is not good that man should be alone. This is a perfect, unfalling, unscathed world right now. And he says, wait a second. It's not good that man should be alone. And men, we need to account our wives, the helpmeet, the helper to us, as a precious, valuable thing. Because God himself said, it's not good that you just be alone by yourself. And all the ladies said, amen, praise the Lord. In verse 19, it says, and out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field, every fowl of the air, and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. So he started creating all these animals, the fish, the birds, the cows, and he brought them to the dominion. And he says, Adam, whatever you call these that I've created is what I'll call them. Wait. God, you're creating these animals. He brought these animals on the things of the earth, the things of the earth subject to the one that had dominion. And he says, okay, now that you're crowned, now that you have dominion, God stepped back, what will you call them? Well, that's a cow. That's right, that's a cow. And that's a cow because you called it a cow. What's that? That's an eagle. That's right, God says. That's an eagle because you called it an eagle. You're understanding what your dominion here on earth has done, because what you're naming these things, I recognize as what you've said as so. That's a fish. That's a muskie. That's a bass. That's whatever. Yes, that's right. That's what it is because you called it that. In other words, God's saying, this is your gig. In a sense, I'm a guest to what you say. Whatever you're saying, I've given you the right and the ability through your created being that what you call these things, I'm respecting. That's the dominion that he gave man. He brought them before him and said, whatever you call these things, that was the name thereof. He gave names to the cattle, to the fowl of the air, to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a helpmeet for him. So he put a sleep on him. He took the rib of Adam. And he made Eve out of that. But he says, what would you call them? This is your position. Now you and your wife becoming one flesh. Now this is your positions in a place of dominion, that you are the heads of this earth that is now created. That is now your responsibility. God, what did you do about it? I wish you would do something. I did. I put Adam and Eve there at this time. Subdue, conquer. Well, I don't like that. Well, that doesn't change who you are. I'll tell you why. This month particularly, men don't want to be men. Well, that's who you are. Just because you're confused and you hide in mamby-pamby land does not mean that you're not a man. You were born a man because you were created that way. If you don't want to act like it, weirdo, and I'm not, they need born again. They need saved. Sometimes, hey, I'm pretty raw when I talk, so excuse me if I'm not politically correct all the time. If I could communicate on that different level sometimes, maybe I would. But I'm just saying it real. I don't try to be a man because I am a man. So I act as who I am. And it's the same thing in this position. The devil's trying to get people to act contrary to who they've been created to be. It's the same thing spiritually speaking in this context. In chapter 3, we remember that Adam and Eve sinned. They gave in. They ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And in verse 8, I want to bring this up because Pastor had touched on this. And it says, and they heard a voice of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord called unto Adam and said unto him, where are you? And he said, I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked. I hid myself. And he said, who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten of the tree whereof I commanded you this day not to eat? And he says, and the man said, the woman you gave to be with me, she gave me the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord said unto the woman, what is this thing that you've done? And the woman said, the serpent tricked me or beguiled me, and I did eat. And he cursed the devil. He cursed the serpent. But for the very first time, when sin entered into the world, we understand, and Pastor ministered on it, talking about fear. Because what the enemy will try to do is suggest to you something contrary to than who you've been created to be. He says, I was naked. Who told you you were naked? I didn't tell you that. You weren't naked when I crowned you and blessed you, when you had full dominion. Something happened in the midst of it, and now you're naked. What happened? Who told you that? It's the same thing in this New Testament where we are at. Believers are being convinced of things that they are not. When Jesus came and died and rose again, he restored the law of original intent. He restored back to normal those things that were once established through the Garden of Eden and the creation of mankind. He now tore the veil. He now abolished the sin that was the separation between us and the Heavenly Father. And he says, now you've established yourself back in the dominion that you once had, because the sin problem has now been eliminated through the blood of Jesus Christ. So God said, who told you that? I want to look at a verse over there in Mark chapter 4. You remember the disciples. Let's jump into the New Testament now. In Mark chapter 4, you remember the storm as they got in the boat and they were going to go to the other side. And Jesus stilled the storm. But these people, now that Jesus has now entered the earth, he had to reestablish their rightful position in dominion. He showed and was an expression of love and God's example of love to the people, but he still needed to establish their rightful place. And until the born-again believers know their authority and their position here on earth, they'll go lacking, they'll go without, they'll go in circumstance, in trial, and in constant defeat until they understand who they are in Christ and their rightful hierarchy as the children of God. And so in verse 35 in Mark chapter 4, it says, the same day when even came, he said unto them, Jesus said unto them, let us pass over unto the other side. You could say right there, thus saith the Lord, let us pass unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship, and they were also with him in other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on the pillow. And they awoke him and said unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and he rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, what manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? So there they were, getting in the boat, going into the other side. Circumstance happened. Halfway through the trip, these fishermen encountered a hurricane proportion, according to the Amplified Bible, storm. So they freaked out and they woke Jesus up. Says, carest thou not that we perish? We're going to die. And so Jesus got up. He rebuked the wind till it ceased and calmed. He says, why is it you have no faith? Where's your faith? I was expecting to hear something out of you, and I didn't. I was asleep. Where's your faith? Wait, Jesus. If you're rebuking me for not having faith, you're implying that I could have done something about this. Don't put me in a position of saying that I could have calmed this storm unless I really could. Don't ask me and question me like the problem's on me when this storm came upon me. These fishermen say, we're fishermen. We live in this sea. We live on boats in this water. When a hurricane proportion storm comes, we're going down when the boat's filling. Jesus, we know better. We know better. Jesus, what are you going to do about this? Wake him up. He's got to do something. Every trial and tribulation we go through, God, what are you going to do about my finances? God, what are you going to do about my unsaved loved one? God, what are you going to do about this physical condition I'm going through? God, what are you going to do about this depression that I'm going through? God, what are you going to do about this anxiety that I'm going through? I put faith in you, and I've established dominion in you, and I'm waiting for you to respond to it. Where is your faith? Jesus said, where's your faith? You could have done something about this. You came and woke me up. He was in a position, they said, he rebuked the storm and the winds and the waves obeyed him. Yes, there was a level of dominion that everything that could possibly hear him say something responded. Even physical wind and waves. He rebuked it and it was stilled. You mean to tell me that everything that I touch, feel, sense, know, see, experience on this earth can respond to the faith of dominion that I have on the inside of me? Yes. Jesus rebuked the wind and the sea. Well, that's pretty radical. He understood that he had to be an example of dominion here on earth. And he rebuked the disciples. Where's your faith? You should have done this. You came and woke me up. He said, peace be still, calmed it. And he turned right to his disciples. This is your position. I stood in your position, just so you all know. You could have rebuked this. Amen. Turn with me over there to Luke chapter 10. I want to just hammer some of these home. Luke chapter 10. We're going to start there in verse 18. You remember when the 70 disciples went out and they returned back and they were ecstatic and they gave testimony and they were like, hey, you know, we were ministering. Even the demons were subject to us. We cast out demons in your name, and they left. Praise God. And Jesus stands up and says in verse 18, he said to them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. I just love the depth of that for the simple fact that they come back and they're like, man, we can't believe this work. We were out ministering and preaching. There were people that were demon-possessed. We cast the devil out of them. And he said, I saw Satan fall to this earth like lightning. In other words, thousands and thousands and thousands of years ago, I was there and I saw him go crashing down. Your soon now revelation isn't that impressive to me because I was there when all this junk went down. He is always known as the fallen one. I've always seen him as the created angel named Lucifer that became the devil, Satan. And I saw him crash to this earth like a lightning bolt. I'm not impressed that those subordinate demons are being cast out because I know what heaven knows. I know what every demon in hell knows from that day moving forward. You guys are the Johnny-come-latelys that just came into this earth and are now understanding and experiencing these things, but I've known this for thousands of years. Excuse me if I don't get excited over the devil leaving. So he says, behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. He says, I'm giving you the authority. I'm giving you the power. I'm giving you the rightful dominion to trample upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. And nothing will by any means hurt you. Why? That's what you were created as being. The dominion that you have here on earth, that's what it does. every demon, every force, every sickness and disease, every poverty and lack, every bit of mental anguish and anxiety submits to the authority that you hold. God is not going to get off his throne and come down and do it for you. He puts you here just like he put Adam here. Something's not changing in your life. What do you have to say about it? Those disciples, he's like, why are you afraid? Who told you you were afraid? Who told you that? Who told you that you were going to perish? Who told you that you were going to stay sick? Who told you that you were going to stay broke? Who told you those things? Don't you understand who you are and what I placed on the inside of you? Don't you understand why you're created and you're sucking air on this earth right now? For a place of dominion. I've given you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions. You do something about it. I'm not going to get off the throne and come down. I already handled that 2,000 years ago through the death, burial, and resurrection of my son, Jesus Christ. So it's understood on our part. It might not be understood on your part. Hosea 4:6, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Okay, maybe you didn't know. That's why we're here. That's why we're being taught, so that we can grow in this knowledge of who we are. People are sitting around waiting for God to do something. And he's like, I got thousands, millions of my people on this earth, and I'm waiting for them to understand what they have and do something about it. Amen. Verse 20 says, notwithstanding in this, rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. He's saying, don't rejoice that these stupid, mediocre devils are subject to you. He says, rejoice because you are recognized in heaven, and every time you say or do something in your dominion and authority, heaven responds. Yeah. Rejoice that your name is written in heaven and they know you, so that when you say something, heaven responds on your behalf. Hey, they're using their dominion. It's time to act. It's time to act. They understand who they are in Christ, and now it's time to act. Waiting on you, I saw Satan fall. Turn with me, and I love this. Turn with me over there to Matthew chapter 11. Our authority. We're not waiting on God to do something. When Jesus was on the cross and he died, he said, it is finished. The redemptive plan of our Heavenly Father has been accomplished. There's nothing more he has to do on your behalf to give you the victory that you are currently needing. It's already been established, waiting on one thing, your faith. Your faith, understanding your authority, and you act, you move, you say, well, that's just not my personality. Well, then you're going to go without. I'm not trying to be hard because this is for me. I'm the same way. You know, I've been complacent in areas. I haven't been aggressive. I get up at, at least three times a week. I get up at 4 a.m. I go to the gym. I put the flesh under. I'm an early riser. I know that seems like, great misery for some of y'all. I get up at 4 a.m. Sometimes I'm in work by either 8 or 9 o'clock. I work till 6 o'clock at night oftentimes. I come home. I got family that I haven't seen. I'm with the kids. Pretty soon it's 8, 9 o'clock and oh man, I haven't read, I haven't prayed, I haven't, Father, thank you for your grace. Thank you for your mercy. Life happens, But we got to prioritize these things. And I realize that if I'm not going to advance or grow in this Christian life, it's not God. God, why didn't you do this? Why didn't you make me into something? Why didn't you give me the ability to do that? I did, waiting on your movement, waiting on your movement. God won't be held accountable for the things that we have failed to appropriate here on earth. That comes down on us. And so it's time for the Christian body to start moving forward. In Matthew chapter 11, I love what it says in verse 12. It says, and from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. I don't know about you, but that doesn't sound like a hug to me. When he's talking about violence and the violent take it by force, you think of violence, you think of assault, you think of murder, you think of gang activity, you think of these riots that are going on. Those are acts of violence. This doesn't sound like a warm fuzzy to me right now when he's talking about these things. He says, From the time of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence. But he says, the violent take it by force. And again, I'm not a Greek scholar or anything, but if you look up this word in the Greek, that word violent, listen to what this word means. Violent means a forcer, to force, energetic, to crowd oneself. I like that. It means a forcer, to force, or to crowd oneself. This is interesting to me, to crowd oneself. Scott, can you come here for a minute? I want to make an example out of you. I'm just kidding. But this is what this means, to force or a forcer, to be energetic or to crowd oneself. To crowd oneself doesn't mean this. This does not mean crowd yourself. That does not mean to force. But all of a sudden, if I come up like this, I'm crowding oneself. In other words, this, I'm all up in your junk. I'm all up in your junk. Because I'm occupying this spot right here because this is my spot. If you're on my spot, I'm forcing you off my spot. And wherever light, thank you for doing that. Wherever light is, darkness cannot be. They cannot occupy the same spot. And so when he says the violent take it by force, you force yourself into that and you occupy your rightful space until it yields to you. Because you cannot occupy that position. What are you trying to stand on? What's the enemy standing on? You need to force your way onto your spot of your prosperity. You need to force your way onto the spot of your deliverance, your sickness and disease. You need to force yourself into that position of promotion. You need to force yourself into that sound mind. You need to force yourself. It's going to require effort because the enemy will not leave unless you make him leave. An enemy will count it his until you have something to say about it. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. That is his job description. For those that are property owners, you may have property. People will come on your property and count it theirs until you go on there and say, hey, this is my property. You don't have the right to be there. Well, yes, I do. I have right to be you. You do not have a legal right to be here because I have the title deed of authority. They may be bigger than you. They may have an army against you. But the legal position of you is I got documentation saying that this is my property. So you need to leave. Otherwise, you will be removed. It's not the devil is far bigger than you, far smarter than you, far more powerful than you. Physically speaking, naturally speaking, but he doesn't have one thing, the authority over you, because we'd all be dead. The one thing that you have is authority, just like a policeman with a badge. He cannot physically stop a semi coming at him. He can't physically hold it back from driving forward. He holds up his badge, says stop, and the thing stops. Why? Because the position of authority. And it's the same thing concerning the devil. Until you use your authority and you hold up the badge of dominion that's been given to you and force him out of there, he'll count it his. What are you going to do? What are you going to do about that? You have to make up that mind and that disposition on the inside of you. It's like, you know what? There's no cost I'm not willing to pay for this. I'm not going to yield and idly sit by another 10, 15, 20 years until the rapture, dealing with things that are well within my realm of influence to change. I'm going to deal with these things. Turn with me. We're there in the book of Matthew. Turn with me over to chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. You remember the Beatitudes? Jesus was addressing, he's like, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Praise God. Then we get to verse 5:5. He says, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. There's an inheritance that is here on the earth. The other ones are talking about maybe, you know, poor in spirit, those that mourn. Okay, these are emotional things. But in verse 5, he said, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. They shall establish the earth. Now, let's get some understanding of what this word meek means. Meek does not mean weakness. If you were to study that word out, you know what meek means? Controlled strength. In other words, this, and fathers, you'll know this when it comes to your family. At least you better know this. Someone messes with your family and your kids, you're a monster, but you know how to conduct yourself. I'm telling you what, someone comes to harm, I'll rip arms, I will eat liver, I will salt the earth. Sincerely, and I'm heavily armed at my place. You knock before you enter my house. I'm a monster, but I know how to conduct myself in the love of God, that the potential is there because I recognize my authority, but I conduct myself appropriately. Jesus was flipping tables, made a whip in a righteous anger, chasing out the abomination of the Lord's house in the temple, but yet he was loving on kids. He was anointed with the oil of gladness above his brethren. He was joyous. He was approachable. He loved. Until that righteous anger came, he turned into an animal. Meekness does not mean weakness. Meekness says, I've given you dominion. I've given you authority and power. You recognize that. I'm scared of you. I'm glad you conduct yourself appropriately. There's an understanding there that we as Christians, we're not weak. We're not just going through the woes and the cares of life, just trying to make it through another day. No, you've been given authority and you will wreck shop if you understand that and you know those things. And that is how you inherit the earth. Well, I don't want to fight. I don't want to do that. Well, have nothing. Have nothing. Well, why isn't God doing something? Why didn't it work? Have nothing. It's God's fault. He should be doing something about this. He did. And if you don't recognize it, he won't be held accountable for what you do or do not have. That's your position. And I'm saying this because I'm edifying myself to realize that, hey, if anything's good, if anything, you know, is going to come forward in what you're standing and believing God for, it's going to require your participation. It's not going to be, like Brother Hagin said, ripe cherries falling off a tree. It's just going to happen. And God's good timing, that never happened. Until you do something about it, the devil's just going to wreck shop until you say so. Have an understanding of these things. The meek will inherit the earth. Those people that recognize the power of the greater one on the inside of them, they understand the strength and the dominion that they have, but they walk in the love and the admonition of the Lord. They walk in the grace that he has for them. They love on people. I'm impressed. I'm impressed when I see that. I'm impressed where men become, I don't know about you, but I delight in the fact, I see these guys that, you know, they care about themselves per se, you know what I mean? And they're being men, you know what I mean? Like, and maybe because there's been an influx so much to try to divert masculinity in this day and age, that man, when I see a buff dude and he's got kids and he's muscular, like he takes care of himself, he discipline is so evident. Discipline is so evident. And I'm not saying, you know, necessarily like diet or you should look a certain way. I'm saying the way you carry yourself, the way that you can be like, hey, I'm not messing with this guy. And I see someone picking up their kid and loving on him. I'm like, I'm impressed by that because this dude could rip my head off right now. But he's chosen. He's a master swordsman, but knows how to walk with it sheathed. He's a professional marksman. And a professional, you know, one with a Glock and could mow down, but yet he knows how to walk in a demeanor with it sheathed in there, knowing the potential of what he can do, but has the discipline and the self-control to walk in love, to walk in joy. I love that. I'm impressed by those things. People that freak out of their head in tantrums and men and they got to be this, man, that's just so ugly. It's so repulsive to me. Man, I'll tell you, there was a guy, Brent and I, we went to Erie last night and ministered, and there was a guy that I knew from back in the day. And we went to Texas Roadhouse after. And the woman, Brent didn't finish all of his steak. And so the woman came up to him and asked him, would you like a, you know, you want a box for your leftovers? He says, no, we don't fight, you know, for our leftovers. You can take them if you want them. One last dad joke before we leave. I'm not going to box you over my leftovers. But there was this guy that was there that I've known before. And the dude is like 6'4", and he is jacked. He is jacked. And we saw him, and he recognized us when we went in. And Brent said something, and they were sitting right at the table next to us. But he had his family there. And he says, what are you doing? I said, I just got done preaching. And it was kind of like, you know, I mean, obviously, we had a suit on and stuff like that, and I didn't know how that was going to go down, because I knew this dude from before and seeing him at the gym, and this dude is a beast. I mean, arms on him, you know, just a manly man. He was there with his family, and he says, oh, yeah. He says, we go to The Rock, meaning the church, The Rock, and so they're local. And I'm like, praise God, this is an example of what we need. And it's not that he's a size, just a well-mannered, having dinner with his family, loving on them. But you don't mess with that, dude. You know, I don't even know why I'm even talking about this. And maybe I'll just, there was, I know for sensible listeners and stuff like that, but there was, they've interviewed people that have done nasty things. They've kidnapped kids and, you know, different things like that. And they do an interview with them. And They would ask the guy that was perpetrating this behavior and these crimes. He says, why would you choose like this kid and not this kid over there? He said, I'd study their family. I would know if the dad was a pansy. I'd know if they didn't recognize the authority that they had. I would know if they didn't embrace who they were as a man. And they became an easy target, the kids. The devil's the same way. If you're not standing in your possession, the place that God's called you, he recognizes that. He either plays on your ignorance because you don't know, or you know and you're not acting in an easy target. The church, we're not an easy target. We are not an easy target because everything has been given to you pertaining to life and godliness through the knowledge of him. That dominion, that authority is at your disposal. And unless you do something about that, nothing will ever happen. Requires your faith to walk in those things. Amen. Did you get anything here today?